Recently, Connecticut announced the donation of $5 million in order to support the state's nonprofit security grant program. What is the significance of these security grants for nonprofits, including houses of worship? And why aren't federal funds enough to support security efforts across our state? We asked Mike Bush, regional director of the Secure Community Network for the Northeast. Let's talk about, first and foremost, what is the Secure Community Network, Mike?
Yeah, so it is a nationwide nonprofit organization based in Chicago that was basically set up to keep the Jewish community safe. So we have, retired law enforcement people like myself. I'm a retired FBI agent. So a lot of retired FBI agents at Secure Community Network and a range of other law enforcement folks throughout the country working at Jewish federations to help secure, all of the Jewish facilities in the area. So that's what we're doing in a nutshell.
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. Really appreciate it. And that you then take that and continue on even after being retired. I really do appreciate that. I think whenever we see law enforcement officers or law enforcement officials who have these incredible careers, but they don't just retire, but they use those skills to continue, impacting our communities, it means an awful lot. So thank you.
No, thank you. It's a great mission, a great group of people. So it's a pleasure.
So first of all, I want to talk about this new funding. And I know that this has been a focus in recent years, at least here in Connecticut. I could speak to that as a Connecticut journalist, that this has been a focus because we've seen such an uptick in hate crimes and just what we've seen across the globe and some of the wars that have gone on and just some of the controversies that have gone on. Talk to us a little bit about why this money matters and also what can be utilized with this type of grant money to better protect, especially houses of worship.
Yeah. So, obviously, sadly, we've seen attacks against nonprofits, houses of worship, just in the last year and a half around the country, from Michigan to San Diego to, Minneapolis, both Jewish institutions and non-Jewish to other faith-based institutions. So, the federal government puts out every year the funds through the nonprofit security grant, the federal nonprofit security grant. For example, just yesterday, the federal government announced a new round this year for $300 million, which will be divided up among the states. I don't know exactly how much Connecticut will get. I'm guessing between 2 to 5 million. And that sounds like a lot, but it goes very quickly. So every year there's far more nonprofits and houses of worship that put in for this grant money than actually get it because the demand is so high. So there's some states that see that gap, in funding and step up and add their own funds, to help fill that gap. And Connecticut's one of them. So the governor announced recently that the state of Connecticut was making $5 million in its own nonprofit security grant available. So next month, probably, we will see, both grants probably open up. So, we'll probably have, $5 million for Connecticut and a couple million in federal grants available for nonprofits and houses of worship to put in. And the things that these grants fund are things to make, our houses of worship and nonprofits safer, things like security cameras. One big thing is just access control, meaning, controlling who's coming in and out of your facility, which is a huge thing. It could be panic alarms. It could be window film to make sure that, no one can easily break in, things like that. And, those things add up. They're incredibly expensive. So that's what these grants are for.
Well, and you can't underestimate, that there are places for the state grants and the federal funds. My understanding was federal funds allow security guard hiring, for example, but Connecticut, like our state funding, does not.
That's right. So there are some nuances between the two. Yeah. Security guards is a huge demand for that. And it's incredibly expensive. So on the federal side, the federal grant does allow for that. And the federal grant is going to be up to $200,000 if you get it. The state grant, which is up to $50,000, does not allow you to pay for security guards, but all these other things I talked about. Another important difference is with the federal nonprofit grant. It is a reimbursement-based grant, meaning, you know, you have to have the funds up front, and then you put in for reimbursement. And I know for some, you know, facilities that are kind of struggling for funds, that's tough. You know, they may not have, you know, $50,000, you know, $80,000 to put up front and then wait for reimbursement. So the great thing about the Connecticut grant is that they will front you up to $25,000. You know, so you don't have to put out that money up front. So it's important to understand the differences in what you're getting into.
So, again, we have Mike Bush here, and I'm really honored to have you here, the Secure Community Network Regional Director for the Northeast. So, yes, that includes us here in Connecticut, also supervising five SCN security directors, which includes in Massachusetts, even Western New York. Mike has a very lengthy law enforcement background, 27 years with an FBI career specializing in counterterrorism, public corruption, civil rights, hate crimes, and human trafficking. So making you perfect for this position following your retirement as a law enforcement professional. What I would love to know from the standpoint of the Secure Community Network is how costly this is. You know, when we talk about kind of upgrading, because sometimes we sort of lose sight of how much it is to make a place secure, to be able to, you know, better combat the issues that, for example, places of worship or nonprofits have faced. How expensive can that get, or how expensive has it gotten? Has your network any concrete numbers to share?
Well, you know, I would say, you know, for example, the Jewish community, it's estimated they spent, you know, over $760 million annually on security. So that's just the Jewish community. So obviously the Jewish community has been under threat for a long time. So it's something, it's a significant focus. But yeah, so it can add up. So these grants are incredibly, incredibly important.
Well, and when you look at Connecticut specifically, Mike, there have been just recent incidents as early as just a couple of weeks ago where we're still seeing this all the time. Because sometimes it felt like in recent years, and you could certainly correct me on this because you're tracking it a lot better, but it seemed like in recent years it would be around holy times that you would see these types of attacks happen. But, I mean, there was an incident on June 8th. Just right here in New Haven, a man arrested for a June 2nd incident, allegedly harassing three Jewish men with anti-Semitic slurs and knocked a kippah off of one of the victims' heads. This is happening, even when it's not, you know, a time of the year where you would expect, which I hate to even say expect, but where you would typically see a hate crime occur. It just kind of is becoming too familiar in our society. But also on top of that, I fear this is underreported a lot. I don't know if you could speak to that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we really encourage people. Yes, it's happening all the time. You know, we call it the duty desk for short. It's our operations center in Chicago with 18 full-time analysts with access to a stack of technology that's, you know, just probably more it's better than probably like 98% of police departments. It's amazing. Number one, they're proactively tracking threats to the Jewish community, looking for them. And for example, I want to say they reported, you know, between almost 800 to 900 threats to life, you know, directly to the FBI. So, but in addition to that, they're intaking all the threats to the Jewish community throughout the country from security directors like me, who's in touch with, you know, all the different Jewish facilities, the local police departments. And so I'm seeing, you know, on my phone, like all the threats coming out, you know, around the country. And I mean, it's happening, you know, every, you know, hour, there's a couple that come in. So it's really, it's shocking, you know, how many threats there are. So yes, it's happening all the time. But we encourage people, when in doubt, you know, whether it does, you know, it could be a suspicious vehicle kind of hanging out in the parking lot, an individual, you know, a strange email, like report it. Number one, first, report it to the local police department. There's no downside to reporting. And then separately for the Jewish community, report it to us, you know, SCN, and we'll get it to our duty desk, who I said again, I mean, they're tracking threats throughout the country. So if there's a suspicious vehicle, you know, kind of hanging out at a synagogue in Norwalk, say, you know, report it to us, because the duty desk may have seen, yep, we've seen that same vehicle at a synagogue in Westchester and in the Berkshires, you know. So a local police department is not going to know that, but we'll know that. And we're coordinating all the time with the local police department. So they know who we are and they know the power of our duty desk. So, yeah, report, we always say.
We're talking about why it's such a big deal that states like Connecticut join in putting grant money forward to really, I would say, harden or put better security measures in place for nonprofits, including houses of worship. And I wanted to talk more about SCN, if you don't mind, Mike, because a lot of people are not really too familiar with the existence of it. I mean, we know there are people obviously working in different networks, but to have this opportunity to talk to you is really a big deal on WACC. So first and foremost, thank you for your time. Talk about some of the core operational pillars for SCN and why they're significant.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned, we have retired law enforcement people throughout the country at Jewish federations, again, throughout the country, supporting the Jewish facilities kind of in their area. And when I say, obviously, we are focused on the Jewish community, but the federations that we work for are always supportive of us doing interfaith work and supporting, you know, other, you know, faith-based organizations or nonprofits in their area. So we end up actually doing a fairly decent amount of work outside the Jewish community as well, because no one else really has anything like SCN. So the things that our security directors are doing, I've already talked about, you know, working with law enforcement on threats and coordinating with our duty desk to run those out. So, but in addition, along with these grants, you know, we'll go out to you know, nonprofits and houses of worship and do very detailed security assessments, because when you put in for these grants, you have to know, what am I going to put in for? What's the priority? So we'll go out and spend probably a day, sometimes more, looking at the facility inside and out and identify, okay, hey, we need some additional cameras. You know, we need better access control. We should get some window film. These, you know, we have weak doors. You know, we don't have any panic alarms. We don't have enough. You know, so these are the things. And we'll give them a detailed report laying out, hey, these are the things we think you should apply for in rank order. And then once grant time comes along, like it will in July, we'll help people, you know, write their grants and put these grant applications together to make it, you know, as impactful as possible, so they have the best chance to get these grants. In addition to that, you know, we have a whole unit that just does nothing but training. So, you know, things like run, hide, fight and de-escalation and situational awareness. And actually, I was listening to, you had Kristen from the Better Business Bureau on earlier. This scam awareness is so important. In my last couple of years in the FBI, I was supervising all the criminal squads, including the white collar squad that dealt with these scams. And it was heartbreaking. Every week we had someone come in who lost their life savings. So I became obsessed with, you know, making people aware of these scams. So we have a training on digital safety and scam awareness. So things like that. And again, coordinating with law enforcement, you know, and then, you know, making sure people, if there is an emergency, they have plans in place, and people, the staff and the congregants know what the plan is if something happens. So those are the things we're doing. And we talk about security is not just, okay, we've got a security guard, we're good. Or, you know, yep, we got some security cameras, we're good. It's about a layered approach. So if you're training your staff in your congregation to be empowered and know what to do, you're putting in for grants and, you know, hardening your facility with these things we talked about. You're reporting, you know, you have a great relationship with local law enforcement. You have emergency operations plans. If you have all of those layers in place, you're going to be far more safe than not.
I think it's what's crazy, Mike, and I see it at, you know, our church here in Fairfield, the one that my family attends in Fairfield. In recent years, that has been one of the things that they've had to really invest in. And to your point, it's you know, whether it's Jewish or non-Jewish, it does feel like we are living in a time where, whether it is houses of worship, nonprofits, even schools, this has become a real priority where you have to be thinking about, if the worst happens, how do we combat it effectively? And this might be a question that's a little bit more left field, but I'm going to ask you anyways, because obviously from a law enforcement standpoint, you could probably talk, you know, for hours on the best security methods and things like that. As far as outside of hardening a physical building, are there things that you would recommend if a person's listening right now and is either witnessing or knows of a hate crime, either in the works or something that would be seen as hateful or could be an issue with a group of people or a population, what have you. What can we effectively do to better combat the issue of hate crime? Obviously, that is a very big question I'm asking you. But I wasn't sure from, you know, from such an extensive background that you have, if you had any kind of insight to share with people if they come across it. I mean, outside of the physical hardening of a building, if you see or witness or know of a hate crime, what you can effectively do to combat it.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about reporting. So if you witness a hate crime or you see, even, you know, online, you know, I know when I was in the FBI, you know, we've gotten tips from people who are gaming, for example, and then they were in a game or chat room, whatever, with someone. They didn't know who they were, but they saw them talking about, you know, about some type of violence or, you know, talking about wanting to conduct violence. They reported to the FBI and, you know, an attack is thwarted. So it's all about reporting. So I would say number one, you know, if you're not sure where to go, call 911. You know, that's your first line right there. But yes, report. And again, there's no downside. You know, law enforcement, you know, the FBI, if it's reported, you know, just because of a report, they're not going to send a SWAT team in to grab someone. They're going to do, you know, they're going to look into it. And if there's something there, you know, they're going to take action. But if not, they won't. But it's always important that people are situationally aware, paying attention and report if you're concerned.
Mm. Mike, I want to, again, thank you so much for the work that you do. And of course, SCN for what it does here and across the country. Thank you for also taking the time to be on WICC. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.